When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
There's nothing like being in the stands cheering on your favorite team. Game Time is your hack to unlocking amazing tickets in just a few taps. Plus, their Game Time guarantee means you can trust you'll get 100% authentic tickets at the best price. Fees are always included, so what you see is what you pay. Get the best deals on sports tickets. Download the Game Time app and create an account to start searching for tickets to upcoming games and events. Swipe, tap, ticket, go. Game Time.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hour number two, that means we're halfway home here on Game Time Decisions. Adam Kaufman with you. Thanks so much for being with us. We have been talking a lot of NBA playoffs, NHL playoffs, the Stanley Cup playoffs, if you prefer, obviously, Major League Baseball tonight. How about we mix in a little bit of NFL draft talk, because the draft, it's right around the corner here. And let us bring in a guy who has decades of experience covering the NFL, college football, handicapping the draft. Ron Marmoleski joins us. He is on Twitter at Ron A Sports. Ron, good to see you again. How are you?
Nice to see you too, Adam. And I guess I have tunnel vision. I don't even know who's in the NHL playoffs right now. And I know there are playoff games going in hockey. You wouldn't think it's football season, but for me, this is crunch time.
I'm pretty sure it's football season year round. If anyone owns the sports calendar, it is the NFL and all things related to the National Football League. As you well know, the Tennessee Titans, they are on the clock, the top five in the league. You got Tennessee, Cleveland, New York Giants, Patriots, Jacksonville. Some of those teams more in need than others of a quarterback, and that is always interesting when you're thinking about last-minute workouts for the likes of Shedeur Sanders and, you know, where is he going to be slotted? Is he climbing up the boards as teams get desperate, obviously, for the quarterback position, the game changers, and of course his college teammate at Colorado, Travis Hunter. Will he be permitted to play both ways in the NFL? There are a lot of questions, and the more mock drafts I look at, the more I read, the more national insiders I listen to, the more I come away with one overwhelming thought, Ron, which is most people don't really know anything. It's a crapshoot. It's a guessing game as we get closer to the draft. But tell me, I want you to defy that. What do you know? What should we expect here going into round one near the top of the draft?
Top of the draft is pretty close to being set, really. 1, 2, 3 looks pretty close to being set. Last year was really formful. I think middle of this draft, it's not going to be set at all, because I think between picks 20 and 70, you can make a case that somebody could have somebody 22nd on the board and somebody else 42nd. Running back, the order of the running backs from 4 to 18 are going to be so interchangeable, it's crazy. Tight end, great year to have a tight end. It's going to be crazy. But one thing I will say is that every draft, a little different, but edge rushers, when there are plenty of edge rushers and plenty of defensive linemen, they're going to go quickly. Last year, we saw offensive linemen go really, really quickly because it was a great crop. This year, if you think an offensive lineman has a slot of about 15 or 16, expect them to go about 12 or 13. I think you're going to get a real, real big hit on the defensive line this year.
Well, you said you think near the top of the draft is pretty well set. The Vegas odds would agree with you. I'm looking at FanDuel right now. Number one, Cam Ward, minus 20,000 to go first to the Titans. Then you have Travis Hunter at number two, the favorite, at minus 700. Abdul Carter, minus 420 to go third. Will Campbell, minus 240 to go fourth to the Patriots. You will notice I have not yet said Shedeur Sanders, who, you know, who knows how far he falls. But in terms of that top three, Ward, Hunter, Carter, in that order, do you agree with it?
I kind of agree with it because at Cleveland would probably prefer Abdul Carter in another world. I mean, that would be ganging up on edge rusher with Myles Garrett and Abdul Carter. Carter is probably my favorite player in this particular draft. Hunter's a unique talent, and I think he fits Cleveland better, so that's why I would agree. I just worry about his overall frame.
Shedeur Sanders is plus 310 to be a top five pick. Do you not see it?
I don't see it. Polarizing views on Sanders. You get the baggage, not necessarily his baggage, but the whole dad baggage and so on. I like Sanders as a deep ball thrower. He has to have more of a pocket presence to me. He's a first rounder. I agree with that. But this isn't last year's draft. And hopefully it's not like the draft of EJ Manuel, one of those drafts where you're Kenny Pickett, where you have one guy in the first round and then you're searching by the end of the third round. So I have Sanders a clear number two, but I have him, I think his proper draft slot is much closer to where Pittsburgh is drafting than closer to where the Giants are drafting.
For Travis Hunter, his college teammate there, obviously he has been vocal about wanting the opportunity to sort of, Deion Sanders this thing to some degree. I know Deion didn't do it full-time. It was sporadic, obviously, when he was a player, but the opportunity to play in the secondary as well as be a wide receiver, something he did so well on the way to winning the Heisman last year, obviously. But is he going to try and dictate his path at all to a team that is interested and open to him doing that versus you're going to get drafted where you're going to get drafted and you're going to play however it is we want you to play?
I think it's a unique situation with both Cleveland and the Giants is that they can't be picky, especially with the New York Giants. Those guys, the GM and the head coach, they're on the hottest seat that can be imagined right now. And if Travis Hunter can help you on both sides of the ball more than what your number two wide receiver is right now, or your number two, or even your number one cornerback right now, you play him. He's got the durability. He's got the smarts. We'll see if it wears on him in a 17-game season as opposed to two bye weeks in college plus 12 games. So he's playing 12 games in a 14-week stretch. He's playing 17 in an 18-week stretch with much more physical people that he has to guard or he has to maneuver around. So it's going to be a test for him. Personally, I would play him full-time at cornerback, and I would play him halftime at wide receiver. I don't think he has to dictate. He needs to be playing.
Ashton Jeanty was in that Heisman conversation, obviously did not win it, but you know, he is a guy that I think is getting a lot of respect. He, this week, wrote an article in the Players Tribune imploring general managers to draft him. He's a fan favorite. There's no doubt about it. And a guy that can certainly make waves there in the NFL. I think if you went back a couple of years, Ron, there'd be a lot of people that would sort of scoff at the idea of taking any running back early or mid round one, because you could get that type of production from some of these guys right off the street in free agency. And then you start to get a little bit of a comeback at the position. Obviously, what Derrick Henry did last year, what Saquon Barkley did last year, what some of these other guys did as well. And, you know, now it's like, okay, well, is this a position that we are willing to invest in? Is Jeanty going to be a high round pick here, and should he be?
Yeah, those are two different questions sometimes, but he will be in the top 10 because I think Vegas at 6, the Saints even at 9, and the Bears at 10 seem to be very interested in him should he drop that particular distance down. Jeanty could be a generational talent. I actually have one area of concern because he played against as a set, the worst set of run defenses I've ever seen in terms of what his schedule was. And when he had to play against the toughest teams on the schedule, it was 30 carries for 120 yards. It was that kind of thing, which is still fine, but it's not elite level. I have just that one concern about him, but he's really, really good. He needs to be paired with an efficient quarterback. If you look at Barkley with the Giants without a quarterback, it didn't work. If you look at some of the running backs, their production goes down when they don't have a quarterback. You put Barkley with Philadelphia and Jalen Hurts, it works. Genty with an established quarterback or an emerging quarterback is the ideal situation.
Felt like forever leading up to this thing, but the draft is rapidly approaching. Ron Marmoleski will continue to handicap, but get him on Twitter, Ron A Sports. Ron, thank you, sir.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
Danny Burke joins us now to talk about the NBA and, of course, the remainder of the play-in tournament and what is to come in this postseason over the next couple of month run to hoisting the Larry O'Brien Trophy. He is a betting analyst over at Odd Shopper and Stochastic. You can get him on Twitter at Danny Burke and the number 5. He tried to decline coming on. You see what happened. If he had said no, might have been the other side too. How are you, buddy?
Oh, we're doing good at it. We're hanging in there. Yeah, fair enough. I've been making those jokes all week, so it's at least been kind of the glass half full of looking at it. It's a good conversation starter. And like I said, I wish I had a better story for what happened, but no, did not get in a fight. And even if I did get my butt kicked, I would tell you if I got in a fight. But unfortunately, the story is much more, underwhelming than that for everybody out there.
I think it's amusing, though. A golf ball, glow in the dark action. I mean, this is the stuff that people, it's at least that's the excuse. It was dark. How was I supposed to see it? All right, let's get. I tell you what, if ever there were an opportunity for people to say, I wish I couldn't see something, it would be this play-in tournament in the NBA so far. 4 games, 3 blowouts, 2 games in front of us, just to watch 2 teams win one more game before getting throttled in round 1 by top competition in the Eastern and Western conferences, respectively. But have you gathered anything from these 2 days of play in action into this next one tomorrow that has you leaning any specific way? First, in the East, where the Hawks are the dogs despite being at home, point and a half. It's essentially a pick 'em. I said earlier I expect a bounce back from Trae Young and company and Atlanta to win this game, complete the minor upset. But what do you think?
So, Adam, I'm kind of on the same page with you. Like, when you look at this from a pure fan standpoint or just maybe a casual betting standpoint, your first thought would be, oh, Miami's absolutely going to destroy them. They're only laying a point, because it's just your classic recency bias, right? And I don't know if I have enough conviction to fade that, though. And I'm not going to talk anybody out of a side, because you do look at the side of Miami And look, this team has this playoff experience in the past. Obviously, it's different without Jimmy Butler, but you have one of the best head coaches in the association in Spoelstra leading this bunch. You're probably not going to get a 38 or whatever it was point performance from Hero, but he could certainly go for 30 plus against a lackluster defense in Atlanta. And then obviously you have a threat in that big and Bam Adebayo. And then if Wiggins can be productive once again, there are a lot of pieces there. So I get it. But again, to think that they're just going to dismantle Atlanta like they did the Bulls might not be the case. And then on the other side, Atlanta's probably not going to look as poor as they did against the Magic, a team that's been very disciplined, very strong defensively. Not that the Heat aren't, but just not as good. So again, I mean, there's a lot of cases to be made, but my first thought would have been Heat for sure because of the other things, not even from the last game. But we always see this with the recency bias. So I'm probably going to hesitate in terms of a side. I would look toward the total here, and I probably would gravitate toward the under at about 219.5. I see some books are going down to that 218.5 mark. Now, I don't know if I'm going to make it an official play per se, Adam, but if I had to pick something in this spot, that may be at the top of the list, because what Miami is going to want to make Atlanta do is slow down. And then Atlanta, you know, on the other side, I mean, they're just trying to look for as good of shots as possible, and you can only try to get that ISO going with Trae Young so often, especially when the atmosphere is heightened, being kind of this pseudo playoff game. I know it is the one and done, but it's not technically the playoff. So I think everybody's going to be a little bit slow to start, and it's going to be kind of a gruesome, ugly game like we've seen in a lot of these, but much closer, hopefully, than the blowouts we've already witnessed. So I would probably think the under may be a good look if you could still get it at about that 219.5 mark.
Yeah, I will say, well, I think Atlanta wins this game. The commentary to come out of it after the fact, one way or the other, will be funny, because this is just how national headlines are driven. If Atlanta wins this game, no one's going to give the Hawks a snowball's chance in hell of beating the Cavaliers. If the Heat advance to face Cleveland, it's going to be, Heat culture, Spoelstra, Riley. Right. I know Jimmy Butler's not there, but just wait. They're going to make it interesting. And you know what? Maybe they would. Maybe they'd take him six games or something like that. Over there in the West, I was dead on, as I think a lot of people probably were, that the Grizzlies were going to at the very least cover the number, were maybe even live to beat Golden State in that first play-in game. They're here now with a banged-up Ja Morant, who is, quote, optimistic that he will play in this next game. But where I couldn't have been more wrong is I didn't think the Mavericks would even show up against the Kings. And instead, it was the other way around. Sacramento got handled. There was no lighting of the beam that day. Now we have 6.5-point favorite Memphis at home against Dallas. Is this the time I'm right where Memphis wipes the floor with the Mavericks?
So I'm kind of leaning the other way on this one. And I know I was just kind of talking about recency bias and everything, but let me say one thing from what I witnessed from Dallas yesterday. And that was, this did look like a team that had that they were playing like they had a lot to prove, that they were playing incentivized. And I think they made a good point on whatever halftime show it was, where some of these guys just don't really care to go get their butts kicked in the next round. I mean, they're not as motivated as if they were in a much better seating to then win this playing game and then keep going and then just probably get demolished in the first round. But man, you saw Klay Thompson out there hitting his shots. He was going nuts. Anthony Davis, part of this massive trade with Luka Doncic, that's in the conversation of pretty much every NBA topic from the point it happened till now. So these guys are playing with a chip on their shoulder going, nah, man, I mean, we could be a deep team here. We got some depth. We got some guys who can score and contribute. It's more so, though, the fact that this number is at 6.5. I mean, Memphis with presumably a banged up Ja Morant, who already sometimes, not that he has been, but sometimes can be limited on the offensive side, especially from shooting from deep. I think they're going to struggle to find consistent scoring enough to cover that number. I know their defense is stout, but Dallas has shown that they have these scoring weapons with AD back in the mix. And if Klay Thompson catches fire early enough, yeah, I think they stay within that number, Adam. So I would definitely lean toward taking 6 in the hook, which a couple books still have it. Even at 6, I think you're fine with Dallas. So
yeah, it's just interesting on the, you know, because you're not just a sides and total guy. You look at the prop market as well. And the books they've adjusted on someone like Zach Edey, who's been a rebound machine now that he's getting real minutes since this coaching change. Now it's 12.5, where you might hesitate toward going over on that. There's been no adjustment on Klay Thompson. How do you not go over 13.5 points when he is the clear secondary scoring option for this team?
Yeah, I'm with you. I think you have to. And again, it's different if it's the regular season versus the playoffs, because it's an experienced player in Clay, and you need to get someone like that going early. You saw how effective it was the last game. Got to do it against a good defense in Memphis here. So I like your thought there.
We're almost done with this ridiculous play-in tournament, but series are coming. We'll get into it with Mr. Burke when we come back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We've got Danny Burke with us from Odd Shopper and Stokastic, handicapping all things NBA playoffs once we get through the play-in. Just the two more games between these teams that hope to advance to round one against Cleveland and OKC in the respective Eastern and Western conferences. There's the bracket. This is how it is shaping up, obviously. We already know, for instance, Orlando is advanced to face the Celtics. On the other side, the Warriors against the Rockets. But let's start here with the Pacers and Bucks. The big news today, Danny, obviously, is that Dame Lillard is expected to return in this series from this blood clot issue, which only sidelined him for a few weeks. I think most people were anticipating we weren't going to see him at all again this year, let alone in round one. And he's not going to play game one. Pacers at home are 5.5-point favorites. But how live now are the Bucks to win this series in your mind if he comes back by, say, game two or three?
It's certainly massive to get a player like Lillard back, because we all know the Bucks desperately need it. I mean, outside of Giannis, you're not getting as much veteran presence and consistency from a guy like Brook Lopez that we've once seen, and maybe that can alter in the postseason. Kuzma hasn't been as stellar of an addition that people maybe, I don't even know if people thought he was going to be that stellar, but just giving as much boost on that side of the floor as maybe they were intending that to hopefully come to fruition, and that just hasn't been the case. So again, it's going to be a boost. Is that enough to warrant betting them to win this series? Probably not. If you asked me last year with this matchup, I would say, yeah, I would certainly be more intrigued to go in that direction. And that more so has to do with the Pacers than it does the Bucks. But I think Indiana, year after year, they're slowly building this camaraderie, and they've had this experience throughout the playoffs to deal with this adversity and, you know, and just build that up to this point to where they feel comfortable with the team they have, especially on the offensive front, which we know they're capable of scoring. But defensively, they're not as big of a liability that they've been in the past year, Adam. So I think you factor that in with the Pacers have been on a clear improvement scale from last season, right? And then you get the Bucks, who have been plateauing, and now you're missing a big scorer and a clutch scorer who comes alive at this time for at least the first couple of games. That's going to put them at a disadvantage for Milwaukee, at least at the beginning, to where that hole is going to be dug too deep, to where unfortunately I just don't see enough value in taking Milwaukee for this series. Now, the way I would probably go about it, and it's not to say I see much value with the prices right now series-wise for Indiana, but I think on a game-to-game basis, Adam, I think Milwaukee will be able to keep it close, and there will be very good opportunities for in-game betting spots with the Pacers. 5.5 pre-flop, I get it. I would lean toward Indiana, but don't want to bet it pre-flop. I think we're going to get various areas in this first matchup to where Milwaukee keeps it close. There's going to be some kind of nerves coming from Indiana, and we'll get a much better number, and then I'll look to attack it then, and that'll probably be my strategy going forward in that first round matchup.
So it's an interesting thought that I really hadn't put much consideration into until you just sort of spelled it out here. There's no dog, and forgive me if you have watched or listened to me on Sports Grid this week saying this already. I'm going to repeat myself. There's no dog that I like better than Detroit. I think the Pistons are going to beat the Knicks in this series. And you can invest in the Pistons at plus 330 if you wish to win the series. But does it actually maybe make more sense to just go game by game, knowing full well that obviously Detroit is not going to win every game, if in fact the Pistons even do win the series, but I think it will be a series. I'd go over 5.5 games, for instance. Should you just take Detroit on the money line each and every game? For instance, in game one, a 7-point dog, plus 240 at MSG. Do we invest in the Pistons game by game that way, and maybe you come out more profitable even if they don't win the series?
Yeah, I mean, it's certainly a decent strategy to consider if you have enough conviction on Detroit. And I'm with you, though. I think this is going to be a longer series. I did take over 5.5 games played. Minus 125 at DK was the best price that I saw. I think the Pistons should be able to sneak one game at MSG. And then, yeah, if you're picking, you know, both games out of the two, realistically, based on the price, you're probably going to make a little coin there. And then expecting them to at least get one game back at home. I mean, this is a classic young team that doesn't know their limitations. They're playing with house money, and the Knicks are a team that have slowly regressed, which has been disappointing to see, and particularly on the defensive side, which has been their identity and what made them so thrilling the past couple of years and gritty and competitive. You don't see that as much right now with this group. It's not to say I necessarily think the Pistons are going to win, but I do think they put up a fight, much like you. I don't know if I have the cojones to have a win in the series, but definitely think it goes at least six games, and that's why I like the over 5.5. And again, I don't mind your strategy there, though, either. I could see that path occurring, too, if you really feel confident in Detroit.
Yeah, I mean, keep in mind, like, if you hit it two games in a row in the vicinity of plus 200, again, you've made your money at that point in time versus the plus 330 on winning the series. Just a consideration. We're only scratching the surface. Plenty more playoff talk to go with Danny Burke. Stay with us.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
NBA talk here with Odd Chopper and Stochastic's Danny Burke. We're looking at the NBA playoffs, which of course get going this weekend. We were just talking about this Knicks and Pistons series. My belief, and Danny in tepid agreement, that Detroit comes out and wins this series. Who is the dog, if you had to identify one, across East and West that you like best?
It's got to be the Timberwolves, right? I mean, everybody is enamored with the Lakers heading into the postseason. Rightfully so. You get the big name in Luka Doncic. You have LeBron James. They're the Dallas Cowboys and New York Yankees of the NBA. I mean, this is what happens every single year, it seems like. And adding one of the best players in the league to the team is only going to prop that up even more so. But people are forgetting that on the other side is Anthony Edwards and a Timberwolves team that has playoff experience, is not afraid to face anybody. I mean, we saw that with Edwards last year throughout their postseason run, and we've just heard him be vocal about it time and time again. Now, I was also talking to somebody else earlier today about this, and while this may not be applicable to the first round series, I'm not of the notion that the Lakers really have a chance to make the championship here. I'm completely convinced it's the Oklahoma City Thunder. It's not saying anything outrageous, of course, but people want to really get all in on this Lakers team because of all that. But if you recall in the past, Adam, like, think about the Miami Heat when they formed the super team. That took a couple of years for them to get adjusted and then win. Look at the Brooklyn Nets when they had Harden, when they had Kyrie and Durant. Took a little bit, didn't end up going anywhere. Injuries didn't help, but still probably would have fallen short. And you look at the Suns, an utter disaster. Like, just because you add a major piece later in the season, seldom does it actually work out that same year. So I'm not completely convinced that these two guys and the rest of the team are just going to flawlessly and, you know, just dominantly play throughout this entire postseason. And everybody can go, well, it's different. It's LeBron and it's Luka. They'll figure it out. And we say that all the time. And yes, to a certain extent, they will. But that doesn't mean I want to put my money down on them in such a tough Western Conference with a team in Oklahoma City that has been building for this moment for years, thinking that they could overcome them just because they got Luka Doncic. And to a smaller degree, then, yes, you look at Minnesota and you're looking at the value on this Timberwolves team. Sure, you don't have home court advantage, but statistically, they match up extremely well. So that's why I think, and I mean, we may be looking at series and going, how the hell were we getting this price with Minnesota? You know, anywhere from about plus 156 to plus 170, I've seen. I wouldn't be shocked if this one goes to seven games. I took over 5.5 games just to be safe in terms of avoiding who's actually going to win, though, Adam. I laid -165. I get it steep, but I really don't see many scenarios where this doesn't get extended because, again, how evenly matched both of these squads are.
No, I agree with you. I think it would take a major injury on one side or the other for this thing to end in five games. I just don't see it, partly because neither of those teams is particularly good at closing out their opponents. So that's something that could lead to a longer series as well. This Nuggets and Clippers series I find really interesting. I don't know. Maybe I'm just looking at it all wrong and ignoring how well the Clippers have been over the last half of the season. But I just sort of feel like in reputation and the fact that they've won recently that the Nuggets should be favorites in this series. They're not. They're slight dogs. It's close, you know, right around minus 115, 120 for the Clippers, even money-ish on the Denver side of things. Of course, led by the best player in the world, won't be the MVP, but he is the best player in the world, Nikola Jokic. But you can't ignore what Kawhi is doing, what Harden is doing, turning back the clock. Powell, when he's healthy, just how, you know, Zubats is a machine. He's Drago out there for this Clippers team. I do think Denver wins this one, but is this another series where maybe it's just better to invest in a longer series versus a winner?
So I actually am invested in the winner here, and I'm a little bit oppo here. Now, it's funny because heading into the year, I picked Denver as like my one team because there wasn't as much value, certainly with the Celtics and the Oklahoma City Thunder. So to go to like double-digit odds, the Nuggets were my team I chose. I thought they would add pieces near the deadline, and I thought last year was going to be their championship hangover and that they'd figure it out and at the very least get to maybe the conference finals, and then I could hedge on the number that I had. But now they've endured all this turmoil, right? I mean, the front office, the GM's gone, the head coach is gone. I mean, it seems like these guys just don't have that symmetry that we once witnessed there in the Mile High City. And I'm a major Jokic fan, love watching him, love betting them when they've been in their prime. But it's just a very tough draw here against a Clippers team that is much better defensively and is really getting into a nice rhythm here, Adam. And you mentioned a lot of those guys like Zubac, Powell, and Leonard. And I mean, they have depth, and that's what Denver doesn't have. And you can only do so much to contain Jokic. But outside of that, you're really banking on Aaron Gordon to hit shots outside of the perimeter. Michael Porter Jr. did not take some shots, which seldom happens. But, man, he's very volatile. And when he catches fire, it's great. I just don't think it's enough to carry them through this series against a really good defense. And, again, a Clippers team that is surging at the right time and has a lot of depth. So the way I attack this, because I do kind of think that the Nuggets should have been more of a favorite. Maybe I'm also saying that, though, because selfishly I wanted the Clippers at a plus price, but I laid the Clippers at a game and a half, meaning, you know, they got a sweep, win in six or win in five, and plus 170 is the best price I saw. Now, even if they lose game one, I'll still feel confident in my position there. But what I may also do, because of how confident I am in the Clippers, is bet the adjusted price for them to win the series outright as a little bit of a hedge potentially on that series spread. Certainly, I could just get demoralized and walloped if they lose the whole thing, but if there's a game for the Nuggets to win at home, I certainly think of that game one spot more so. So it's not going to surprise me. I'm not going to freak out, but on paper and heading into this, I do like the Clippers, and they've been a team as a longer shot that if I had to pick someone outside the Oklahoma City Thunder, it actually would have been the Clippers. I've kind of been saying that for a while. With that being said, though, their ceiling is the conference championship, right? I mean, I don't think they're making the finals by any stretch, but at one point they're like 70-80-1. And, you know, based on that number and the way these guys are playing and how tough, again, that defense is to just reach conference finals, I don't think is the craziest thing. Granted, it's tougher now with the draw of the bracket specifically, but a while ago I thought that was a viable outlook. So I don't know, Adam. Just maybe I'm going to get absolutely fooled on this one, but I really like this Clippers team a lot.
I just can't believe the disrespect, not even mentioning Jamal Murray's name after some of the playoff runs that he has had. And
well, it's just, you know, it's just like his injury cut out. And I mean, it's different now with him being healthy. I get it. I know he's probably going to make me eat crow, but you know, you really need those role guys to step up for Denver like they needed last year. And it's just, sometimes it's so frustrating to watch him because it's like, somebody please help out Jokic. And it's been a while since Murray's done that consistently, I guess. I don't know.
Danny, at the end of it all, the chalk is obviously Boston against Oklahoma City in the NBA Finals, and pick your winner from there. Is that what we're going to see?
That is what we're going to see. Pickner is incredibly tough here. I mean, you know, if you asked me a couple months ago, I would have said Boston again. But the more I watch the Oklahoma City team, man, I struggle to find where a team is going to be able to stop them in a 7-game series. And again, my biggest thing is looking at teams that have been chiseled with this adversity from years past in the postseason and building up to it. And Oklahoma City has been that group, like Boston ended up being last year. And again, I just think the depth that Oklahoma City has slightly, and on the defensive side of it too, gives them a slight nod. So I'll lean toward Oklahoma City, but I'm not as nuts about it, but I am very confident that it will be those two teams, Adam.
So is there any right now pre-playoff way of betting long-term that you like? Would you chase any value on one of these other teams, for instance, in the event that something wild happens, something unpredictable, or do you just wait for what you feel might be the inevitable?
Well, actually, the way that you could go about it to get some value, if you have as much conviction as I do that it's going to be the Celtics and Thunder, is to bet Finals MVP. And certainly it's not insane value with SGA or Tatum being the chalk, but it's going to be in some cases better than what you could get on these teams. But maybe more so if you want to go a step further, Jaylen Brown, who I think was maybe 17, 18 to 1. Based on just value from assuming they're going to make it, what it is now to what it's going to be if they make it there, it's going to be a sizable difference. So that would be the way I think you could hunt for some value away from the chalk. That's how I would approach it.
Always great fun breaking down all things NBA, looking ahead to the postseason. We'll have him on plenty to talk through some baseball eventually as well. Nelly superfan Danny Burke from Odd Shopper in Stochastic. Get him on Twitter, Danny Burke and the number 5. See you, bud.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We're back on Game Time Decisions. Our thanks to Danny Burke and all the guests that we have had so far. We round it out with someone who is to follow us here on Sports Grid for the next couple hours after we are done. That is the one, the only, Dave Sharapan, the sportsbook consigliere. Get him on Twitter at SportsBKConsig. He is dressed to impress, as he always is, but most notably, he is dressed to support a team playing in the only baseball game that is yet to begin, and that is, of course, the Angels and Rangers. We will see them get started in about 20 minutes. Everything else is underway. Sharapan, I guess I don't have to ask if you're on the dog tonight.
Feel like I'm the only one. And sometimes you got to take the book side. Like, that's what I do. I mean, just being a book guy for as long as I was. So, yeah, just looking at it, thinking, all right, who's going to defend the Angels today? Probably not anybody. The Angels have been the last couple games pretty bad. And let me see. Texas has won each of its last 7 games against the Angels dating back to last September. Nobody wants the Angels today. So I'll say the Angels got a shot today, maybe plus a run and a half. I'll be looking to take them in game. For me, Logan O'Hap is expected to return.
O'Hoppy,
yep, is supposed to return to the lineup. So that's going to help. And let me see here. I have a pitching stat that I wanted to give you as well.
Please.
Kumar Rocker took the loss in Seattle on Saturday. He allowed 4 runs over 3 1/3. He's 0-4 with a 5.87 ERA and 6 career big league starts. He's starting for Texas tonight. So sometimes you don't have to pick the team. You got to pick against the other team. That's where I get this play tonight.
It's interesting. I mean, to that point, we've had multiple guests on here in this show who have said that they want, like, what their reason for supporting the Angels tonight is just wanting to fade Kumar Rocker. It's really that simple. And yet they are considerable favorites on the money line, the Rangers tonight, right around minus 155, minus 160, depending on where you do your shopping, obviously. But what I have asked the people is, ultimately, should we just invest in runs? You know, you get plus money on the over 9.5. You know, you look at two guys who both have ERAs through the roof. They're pitching very portly. You could go over 5.5, first 5, get that at plus money. Is that the approach? Should we just bank on offense if you're a little too timid to go plus money on the Angels' money line?
If you want to gamble a little bit, and apparently
what we
you're
do
watching
here.
Sports Grid, you probably do gamble a little bit. You take a shot that there's no run scored in the first inning and the game drops below eight, like 2.5. I feel much better if 9 was working for us than working against us. The 9.5 is that, like, you know, because this game could be 5-4, 6-3, even 7-2. There's so many combinations. Just like a craps table, you know, the odd numbers, the 7 has the most combos. That's why the house wins when a 7 is thrown. 9 has a lot of combos. 9.5, Adam, is where you go as just as a book guy a long time. I like the 9 working for me in the book. So that's the one I think it's not automatic. Maybe pick a team total if you like, and you know, or maybe even the first 5 total over rather than the game over. Or just gamble to the there's no run scored in the first inning, go over 8.5.
Yeah, I'm playing with something right here just to see if we can, you know,
a builder.
You know me.
Are you building something?
Yeah, it's a little builder. How about this? Oh man, well, you know, so you don't like the 9.5, but you like 9 if it existed, right? That's what you're saying.
I would be okay with pushing on 9 and knowing that 9 doesn't beat me. Yes.
And you like the Angels, so let me do you one better. How about this?
Okay.
With breathing room on the Angels, you could take the Angels on an alt run line plus 3.5 full game. Oh, that means, for anyone that doesn't know, I'm sure you do, the Angels, you know, they could win sweat free or just don't lose by more than 3. Angels plus 3.5 full game, and you pair that with over 8.5 runs. Bring it down a run. Pair it with over 8.5. You can get yourself plus 108. That's plus money on that bet. So you just a little bit less on the offense. And the Angels don't even have to win, just don't get creamed, and you get plus money on that little two-leg builder right there.
It's not bad. That's not bad. And getting those more runs, I got it here too. The Rangers have won 8 of 9 at Globe Life Field this season. So we don't have to win the game, and we still win the bet. I like the way you're thinking. I like it. Yeah.
I mean, I'll give people one other variation if you want it. How about this? Over 7.5 runs, bring it down 2. Over 7.5 runs and the Angels plus 2.5. Instead of 3.5, 2.5. That's plus 103. So you're asking for even just a little bit less in terms of the offense, but obviously a little bit more out of the Angels. But if you already like them to win the game at plus money, you may as well feel great about them at plus 2.5 full game. So again, or you could, I'm not going to build all this stuff out for the people, bore everybody to tears, give people a popsicle headache or something like that. But you could, you know, you get rid of the alternate full game, go into an alternate plus alternate first 5, do it that way. And that way you're just directly fading Kumar Rocker and taking the bullpens out of it. That's another way that you can handle it.
Okay. Sounds good to me. I got to ask you a question before I get out.
What convincing do you need? Yeah. What do you got?
Does either dog win a game tomorrow in the NBA in the play-in games? I mean, we got
I like Atlanta. I like Atlanta. Although it's hard to, I mean, like you said, it's a point and a half. It's hard to even really call them a dog, isn't it? You know, you're at home, you're at, you know, slightly a dog, but it's basically a pick 'em. I like him in that situation. I think Trae Young and company bounce back. I like the points plus assists out of him. I'm going to flip it on you because I know you're getting out of here pretty soon, or maybe you're hanging around another segment. I don't know. Time will tell. We'll surprise the viewers. Any emerging thoughts about the NFL draft as we get a little bit closer to it now with all the Shedeur Sanders and everything hype that's been coming along these last couple days?
In a word, no. The bane of my existence. The NFL draft was the worst thing that I had to deal with in a sports book. I love watching it. I have no interest in betting it. I will be interested to see it develop, and hopefully the Steelers will end up with a quarterback after it's all said and done. That's all I want.
Aaron Rodgers waiting for his phone to ring, man. Haven't heard him? Much more from Sharpan on Sports Grid. Don't go anywhere.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Sharapan is coming up for a couple hours here on Sports Grid when we are done, but he is hanging out with us for just another moment or so here. Look, you were just saying Pittsburgh, you're a Steelers fan. Anyone that watches, listens to Sports Grid knows you're a Steelers guy. We need a quarterback. All right, well, who do you want? I mean, the field is narrowed, my friend, obviously. So, you know, do you want them to, you know, maybe Shador Sanders falls there? You already said you don't want Aaron Rodgers. Who do you want?
I think if they're going to make a move, I mean, like going and getting DK Metcalf was so out of character, and they went and got a wide receiver and a free agent market, bring him in or whatever, and pay him all this money without having a quarterback. I would have to think there's a plan in place. Whether it's trade up to get Shador, I don't think that's really going to happen. The buzz from guys back home is that this Jackson Dart may actually be available and an option. I don't know. I mean, Sammy's in our ear saying these guys' names. I have no idea if that's actually going to happen or not. At this point, I feel like a quarterback is they need more than that. Like, so getting a quarterback when you already have a guy in place who might know the system and can take the hits, I think that might be the better course of action. As long as you bring a guy in, Adam, not like you guys did in New England, right, where he's going to play right away. I don't think anybody that the Steelers draft needs to play right away.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
So you don't think Shador, and like we had Ron Marbleski on with us a little while ago. I asked him Shador Sanders, despite all this hype, is going to be a top five pick, which you can invest in at plus 310. He said emphatically, no. You don't think he's near the top of the board either?
From the guys we talked to about this, unless somebody goes and makes a move to go get him that's in the top five, then no, it's not going to happen. And now, again, this is lying season. I don't believe any of it. Until I see a number move, then I'll know that somebody's actually making a move or making a statement and doing that. Personally, I don't think he will, but again, I'm not a draft guy. I got to go.
We'll see you later, buddy. Enjoy your show for the next couple hours. You and Wetzel, right?
Yes, sir.
All right, Scott Wetzel and Dave Sharapan will follow me for a couple hours, 8 to 10 Eastern. Make sure you tune in for that. A quick look around Major League Baseball. So the Orioles, bottom five, a 4-2 lead against the Guardians right now. Looks like that one's headed top six now. The Royals trying to scratch one across, getting shut out in Detroit at the moment, 3-0. That one is in the top of the fifth. They do have a man on second base. Yankees clinging right now. I mean, they could be getting their doors whacked, blown off right now, but they're not. Credit to, you know, I never would have imagined that they would get good pitching, the Yankees here tonight, but they are. 1-1 game at the moment after the Rays left the bases loaded, threatened and then some, but left the bases loaded in the third inning. Had them loaded with one out. They were down by one, got one across, loaded them again after a sac fly scored the runner and they couldn't get another run in. So it's a 1-1 game right now. Top three, long way to go in this one, but this is one we were talking about overs in because of obviously the potential with the weather and the wind blowing out for offense in this game. You are up to 9.5 right now on the total at plus money, no less. The Mets, Vecchio nailed this one earlier. The Mets 4-0 lead at the moment, and that is through two innings. We're top three and already a man on third for St. Louis. And of course, Sharapan, Faden Kumar supporting the Angels, call it what you will. LA at Texas, that game is getting started in about 10 minutes, where again, you could go to the Angels on the money line if you want. Not a bad play at right around plus 135. You could go to the over if you expect offense and that those two things might be correlated. Again, plus money to over 9.5, or like I brought up before, go to a builder, put those two things together, bring down the total, take an alt spread, be it first five or full game on the Angels. You can get yourself a nice plus money bet in the vicinity of plus 105, plus 110, depending on how you pair those things together. And that might be a better way to play it as opposed to going after specifically a money line or the total needing 10 runs in that game. It's what I would do. Cardinals just got one in. It's now a 4-1 game. The total has jumped to 10.5 in that contest. Yankees failed to score in the top of the third. That is notable only because the 1-1 game has brought the total from 9.5 down to 8.5. Moved a full run as opposed to going down to 9 where you had that push potential. Meanwhile, we have a low total at 5.5 between the Royals and Tigers midway through that game. Over in the NHL, I would run down the score by score for you, but again, we've talked about it. none of these games tonight mean a lick. Worthless. Truly, it's a lot of teams just playing out the string. Nothing is on the line other than incentives and chasing player props and that type of thing. But in terms of winners, losers, it doesn't matter. Our thanks to Sammy, to Chris, to everybody behind the scenes, all of our guests. I'm Adam Kaufman. Happy Saturday. No, Friday. Tomorrow's Friday. We'll see you later.